Hi, podcast listeners. If you got a question for us, we'd love to take your call. Many of you listen not live, so we've got a special three-hour recording and taping we're doing on January the 4th between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. Pacific time on January 4th. We're going to be taking your calls. So if you got a question for us, call now at 1-888-2-HANSEN, and we'll schedule a time for you to call and ask your question so we can answer it again on January 4th. So call 1-888-2-HANSEN. Hi, this is Scott.
This is Pat.
Hey, we've got a great program, and this is New Year's Eve, so we got a special program this New Year's.
We're going to talk about New Year's resolutions that you should consider
when it comes to your finances. Things don't happen by accident, so stick around. Special program, Hanson McLean's Money Matters on this New Year's Eve.
Providing guidance as you plan and transition into retirement for over two decades. Here's Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean. Thanks for joining us.
That's right. Glad you're here with us, both myself and my co-host. We're both financial advisors, certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant. We spend our weekdays meeting with people like yourself, come here on the weekends to be your financial advisor on the air, and we've got a special program on this New Year's Eve.
We're going to cover all the New Year's resolutions that I have failed on.
Pat's failed New Year's resolutions. It's going to be a great show.
From last year. It should. It's only an hour show. It's not quite long enough to cover all the New Year's resolutions that I have failed on. I kid. I joke. That is not what the show is about.
We're going to be talking about some New Year's resolutions, primarily in the financial realm because this is a financial program. So get some things thinking about. I know some people like to make resolutions. Others will maybe make some goals for the year. Some don't like doing it at all. But from a financial advising standpoint, things just don't happen financially, right? Things, what are you waving the music off or off?
Down.
That's hilarious. So we're at the break and Pat says to John, hey, can you let the music run a little more? And he says, well, last time I tried making it run and you were waving it off. And so here's the music playing and now you're like waving them off again.
But it ran for about 2 minutes.
Whatever. Anyway,
now, New Year's resolution is to actually be nicer to the people I work with.
Anyway. But here's what's interesting about 25 years in doing this with individuals and helping, looking at people at retirement time. Some are phenomenally prepared. Others aren't. For most people, it didn't happen by accident.
Yes. It takes, you have to be resolute.
Resolute. Well, there's the word for resolutions.
Yeah. You have to be resolute.
But I mean, part of it is really just coming up with the right kind of plan, having a strategy. And regardless of where you are financially, maybe you've got multiple millions set aside. It still makes sense to make some planning this year. Perhaps you are starting over financially because you've had some setbacks. Whatever it might be, it's a great time of the year to step back, look at the finances, look at your overall life, and say, all right, what changes do I need to be making for 2017 so that by this time next year, you'll be further ahead meeting your financial goals?
People that are financially secure are typically more organized than people that are not. That's the reality of it.
Yeah, of course.
And that they normally have a plan. But here's what I wanted to start with, Scott. According to this website Statistic Brain, here's the five most popular New Year's resolutions. Weight loss, getting organized, spending less, saving more. That's number three. Enjoying life. Do people actually have to do that? You have to make a resolution to enjoy life?
According to Statistic Brain, they do.
Get healthy or fit. So lose weight, get organized, spend less, save more, enjoy life, get healthy or fit. Now.
But here's you know what's interesting? And lose weight's always up there, right?
Yeah.
One of the top ones, lose weight. And of course, Americans, the majority of Americans could lose some weight. And yet, a year from now, it's still going to be the number one thing because...
Yeah, but at least they're trying.
I understand. But if you look at those that have been successful, oftentimes they've been part of a program.
Or minor changes.
Yeah.
Minor changes. So what percentage of the population has New Year's puts together New Year's resolutions? 40? Do you know this? Are you looking?
No, I'm not looking because I know you're looking at this.
Okay. What percent do you think it is?
That make New Year's resolutions?
Yeah.
70%.
45%.
No, it's about half, about one out of every two of us. Do you make New Year's resolutions?
Some years. Some years. Some years I don't. I don't know why.
I'm the same way. Some years I'm more. I think I'm more satisfied with. I feel like I'm things have kind of gone. Other years I'm like.
But there is one I do almost every year, which is to read the Bible from beginning to end in a single year, and I've never actually gotten through that. In a single year from the beginning to end.
Well, it's just like everything else. You need a program to follow through in a program, and maybe you need a support group and everything else, right?
I probably need a support group.
Well, we have several.
Okay.
I'm thinking several.
I'm thinking that we should actually just turn my office into a counseling session.
I did have a new... I actually call mine... I'll typically make goals for the... Just things I say, I need to get this done this year. I need to make some changes in this year. But for 2015, I had update my trust, my family trust.
Did you do it?
I did not do it all. So I clearly understand why half of Americans die without a will, and why most people don't have their trust up to date, because we always think we're going to die sometime. We're going to die, but not today, right? So we have
yes.
But I went all through 2015. Then I looked at my list and I'm like, doggone. So I had it in 2016. I did get my trust updated and got it signed and everything's got it all taken care of. But if I had not written that down and made a plan,
You know, it's funny. I should
have a trust in order. It had been about 10 years.
I should actually put together New Year's resolutions and write them down, because I work off a list every day. When I get up in the morning, I have a list of things I need to get through.
Are you one of those guys that... if you have a list of 8 things and you do something that's not on the list, you go then and write it down and cross it off or check it off?
You guess whether I'm that guy or not. I'm absolutely that guy. I write this stuff down and then I check it off.
No, the stuff that you've already done that you didn't write down.
No, I don't do that.
Here's why I was thinking, I can't imagine you would think that was a waste of your time.
That's a waste of time.
Yeah. Otherwise, it'd be a great idea, but it'd be a waste of time.
Yeah, yeah.
But there are people that... If you did one more thing.
So
I did not get the firewood stacked last week like I was supposed to. It was on my list.
Well, I counted
it. I'll make it as a New Year's resolution. I'll tell my wife, hey, babe, for 2017, the firewood will be stacked.
Scott,
how's that?
If I get someone else to do it, it's the same as me doing it. So I mark it off my list. So I have a bunch of kids. So a total percent of the people who are successful at achieving their resolution, what percentage do you think that is? So 45% of actually.
So what's the question? 45. So half of us make resolutions.
Approximately.
What's the question?
What percentage of those people do you think actually are successful in their resolutions?
All of them?
Really?
No. That was a question. All of the resolutions?
Oh, I don't know. Let's move on to the next question. That's a great question.
Who's successful at everything? I'd say 0% are successful at everything.
They say 8%, which is actually means 4% of the population.
It depends if you got.
4% of the
10
population.
Things listed for your New Year's resolution.
But if you're in your 20s, the chances of you achieving your New Year's resolution goes up to 40%. Isn't that something? People in their 20s have a higher degree of achieving their New Year's resolutions. Maybe they just have less of them.
Well, they have lower standards. Thank you, John.
John.
Who's in his 20s?
How old are you, John?
John Coyne. John's 29, lower standards.
Lower standards. Those people,
they're easier resolutions.
Yeah.
Get a job. There's our first one. Get a job.
Haircut. Grow some facial hair.
Shave daily.
Get skinnier jeans. Get those pointy shoes.
More colored socks.
Exactly. Anyway.
We find ourselves fun.
Let's go on to what we think should be good New Year's resolutions.
Yeah, for your finances.
Your
and here at Hanson McLean's Money Matters, we've got a special Christmas Eve program. This is financial. Although last week we had a fantastic Christmas. By the way, if you missed our Christmas Eve program, Pat said it was his favorite program in the 21 years we've been airing Hanson McLean's Money Matters. And Chris Schwedler, who is our director of client liaison, I swear to you, at the end of the program, she came in, she had tears in her eyes. She says, this is by far my favorite program you've ever done. She said, I started out the day grumpy, and by the time you guys are finished, I'm overwhelmed with joy. That's what she said. So I'm just stating, if you missed last week's Christmas Eve special, we interviewed 5 Hanson McLean clients who've been involved in a variety of different charities and nonprofits, sharing their own personal journey of how they got involved and how that attitude and that commitment of service impacted their own lives, what they got out of it. And it was just spectacular. So you can go to moneymatters.com and click on it and find that program from Christmas Eve. I think it'd be worth your while. If you're not a podcast subscriber already, go to subscribe to podcast on iTunes. It's Hanson McLean, I believe, on the other sites. Just search Hanson McLean, you'll find it. But it was a good program.
So my favorite show we've ever done had nothing to do with money. That's a shame.
That's the problem. It was actually giving away money. So
it was actually, and we did. We contributed to these nonprofits. So to hear which ones they are, tune in.
Yeah. And so our program today, we want people to, and we were joking about some of the stuff. We really think it's important that people have their financial house in order, that are prepared for retirement, regardless if they want to have a retirement of leisure or retirement of service, or they never want to retire ever. It doesn't really matter. Every individual is unique. We respect that. But we do believe it's important that people have their financial lives in order. And as they get further on in life and get close to retirement, that things are structured in such a manner for them to be able to maintain their same standard of living, to protect their assets. Oftentimes, Wall Street is still trying to push something else. We really believe that, like, when you're 60 or 70, now's the time to have some focus on the downside. You protect the risk. It's interesting, Pat. We've even seen since, you know, but the stock market started going up.
Since the election.
And people kind of get, it's like, why am I still diversified? I remember I had a conversation with the client. She said, well, the market did this. I said, well, your number one holding happens to be the total stock market index.
Which is, you participated in the uptick.
100% in that portion. But and it's just kind of a reminder that,
yeah, you can't get lulled into a sense of security just because the markets are doing well.
We all remember what happened during the financial crisis. Remember what happened with the dot-com boom and bust. And not that we're predicting those things are going to happen again. The fact that we've seen a couple in the last 15 years, if you're going to plan your next 15 years, might be prudent and wise to at least have a plan in place to protect yourself in the event those things happen. And
that's what these resolutions are about.
This resolution is about getting your financial house.
So the first thing we think you should do,
has got this program to do this,
is contribute more towards your retirement.
Yep.
And do it if you have a 401k or a 403b or a 457 plan available to you. Do it through your payroll deduction if that's possible.
And the thing about the payroll deduction, I think the most powerful thing about the 401k is not the tax deferral and the tax benefits of it.
It's the consistency of it.
And the fact that it's sucked out of your paycheck before you receive it.
Let's try not to use the word sucked out. That sounds negative. That it is taken gingerly out of your paycheck every paycheck and put towards your retirement plan.
It's paying yourself first.
Yes.
And if you don't have a 401k, look, most of us get paid electronically these days, right?
You can set up a Roth IRA or a regular IRA that comes right out of your checking account on a monthly basis.
Yeah, so you can have it the day after your payday hits, or the day your payday hits, have those dollars directed. So if you want to contribute, let's say you just want to contribute.
Start with something. If you have children, tell them the first thing they need to do is sign up for the retirement plan. Every paycheck, a little bit goes away, and it adds up quickly.
It makes a difference. Look, we've all seen the stats. We're not going to sit and go over a bunch of numbers on it, but it makes even $100 a month can make a big impact.
And meet with an advisor or go to our calculator, moneymatters.com, and do the math for yourself. Some of you may want to do it into a Roth 401k, and some of you might want to do it through a traditional 401k. Some of you may want to do it through a deductible IRA. Some of you may want to do it through a Roth IRA.
So, Pat,
IRA.
How much do you think someone should be contributing to their retirement?
Out of the gate? Like they should contribute to the maximum if available. The minimum they should be putting in is 10%.
The minimum 10%.
The minimum 10%, regardless of the match. Regardless of the match. But the minimum
is
10%.
So, if you're not at
10%. Can I tell a quick story?
Yes. It's your radio program.
Okay. So, I had a job before entering the financial services industry, and they had a 401k available to us.
What job did you have?
I worked for a pharmaceutical company for 18 months, which was just a job. My true love was actually investing. I had a stockbroker when I was in college and had been investing.
In high school?
Since I was 16.
Yeah.
And bought my first stock. So, but I, you know,
didn't you use your student loan to invest in something?
I did actually. So, so I don't know.
That's another story.
I don't know if that's what the intent of the student loan was. But
did you have success?
Yeah.
Federally subsidized student loan. You speculated on something.
I did. Yeah, I was buying stocks, but I don't think that was the.
It was part of your education, though. You must admit.
I did okay.
Okay.
So when Scott and I started Hanson McLean 22 years ago,
in 1993,
I used my contributions from my 401k to roll out for 60 days to help finance the start of this company 22 years ago, right?
Yes.
So I made it. I put it back
in. You put money in retirement. You used for a different purpose at that time, and were able to get it back in because you took advantage
of the 60-day period.
Because you were a good financial advisor and you knew the rules. And
I knew the rules and how to do it. Yeah. But without that discipline to start, and it wasn't my idea. It was studying finance. Just save as much as you can as early as possible. And for that, I was putting
the
maximum.
What's the book, Richest
Man in Babylon?
Richest Man in Babylon.
Give it to your teenager to read.
It's actually a great book. Richest Man in Babylon.
If you find you lack discipline,
I read it. I remember read it years ago. Richest Man in Babylon. Find the rich. But the thing, so when you're just getting started in life and your income's low, you're used to living on less anyway. Like you get a kid right out of college. Scott,
if you're 40, what do you do now?
You just got to do it.
You just got to do it.
And you know what?
And you're going to say you can't, and I understand that. Or if you're 50, you say you can't, it's too late.
Even if you're in debt. I remember when I first started, I began this business in 1990, one of the very first families I worked with, trying to think of their age at the time, they were probably late 30s, I'm guessing, had a few kids. I actually remember meeting them at their house, and I'm going over through some financial plan. I remember I looked at my white sleeve I was wearing, and I had all this brown on it. I apologized to them. I thought, oh, I must have got something on. And then I noticed the other sleeve, it was brown as well. And then I noticed my hands were brown. I guess one of the kids had decided to polish the kitchen table.
Oh.
And I was working on the table. So it cost me a anyway.
Shirt.
I don't know why I bring this up. I don't make house calls anymore, just to let you know. But this is a long time ago.
Yeah.
So anyway.
30, long time ago.
Long time. So, but I remember this family, they had some debt, some consumer debt, and a little bit of student loan as well still. And they had nothing saved for retirement. And I remember sitting down through it, and I went through the whole thing. They were paying some high interest rate, and we said, let's get a plan to get the debt paid off first. Why are we going to save at a lower percent when we've got double-digit interest charges on these credit cards, right? So I did this whole plan. I met with them a year later. Guess how much they'd save, progress they'd made on their...
They're paying down debt.
None.
Probably.
They hadn't made any progress.
They were comfortable with it.
And how much did they have saved for retirement?
Zero.
Nothing. So I said, you know what? Let's just save 10%. And I set up a plan where money got transferred out on an automatic basis. A year later, they still had the debt, but they had money saved for retirement.
And the funny, people get comfortable with certain levels of debt.
They do. They absolutely do. I can't tell you how many people we've seen with literally hundreds of thousands of dollars in the retirement plan and $10,000 in credit card
debt. Or $20,000, and that's like their limit.
All the time.
It will never go over like 10 or 20, whatever their limit is.
Is it great?
No, it's not perfect.
Is it the best? No.
But they're human.
They're human, right? And I think that's part of it. I mean, we're talking about...
So start saving towards retirement as soon as possible, like right now. New Year's resolution, Shell, right?
Yes, and that's the biggest.
Second thing you should do is calculate your net worth. If for no other reason, just to understand a baseline of where you're at. So calculate your... And what is net worth? It's assets minus liabilities, net worth.
Financial net worth, we're talking.
Yes, financial net worth.
But there's some great tools to use that. You'll, of course, everything we're talking about in this program is available at moneymatters.com. We'll have all of these and some more financial resolutions on there. But from there, there's some tools. Bankrate, Investopedia, they both have some good tools to help you calculate your net worth. I think it's a good discipline for people to go through. It's just kind of to be able to list out the things that they own, what debts they may or may not have.
It's an excellent overview of your financial situation by calculating your net worth. To go along with that, and we do it, my wife does it. It's pretty easy though, because as I had mentioned before, I'm married to an accountant. She looks at where our money goes throughout the year. So runs a report out of QuickBooks, Quicken, to actually see what we're spending money on at the end of the year.
And you go back and look at everything?
She goes back and looks at
everything. Does she try to tell you need to cut back in certain areas?
She does. Not as much as when we were younger. But when you're younger.
It made a difference. Yeah.
It made a big, big difference. But would run a report and see where we're actually the money's going. So what this net worth calculation does is gives you a global view of your financial situation. And then you look at what your essentially what would be a P&L or profit and loss statement for a family, which is your expenses.
You know, it reminds me, Pat, I have a friend of mine and who writes down every expenditure. He's been keeping a spreadsheet since high school or so, right? And he got married. He's been married on roughly 25 years, give or take.
Wow.
And keeps track of everything. And he was talking, one day we're talking, and he was complaining. He says, my wife drives me crazy. She won't keep track. She'll go to the ATM and won't keep track of it. She'll spend something and keep track of it. And I said, is that like a source of arguments often? Oh, we probably argue about that more than anything we're talking. I said, you know the definition of insanity, don't you?
Why is he doing this? She's not going to change.
That's what I said. I said, she's not going to change. So unless you want to just keep fighting. And I said, you know, you can actually be just fine financially without doing that. And it was like the first time he like had this sense of relief, like maybe I don't need to do that.
Yeah, he should just save more, have it come out of his.
Yeah.
He knows what it's costed him to live, yeah,
of
right?
Of course. He backed off, and I don't know if things are. His wife left him anyway, but. No, I'm joking. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. A bad joke. It's a bad joke.
That was just one of many of his control issues that he had in his relationship.
It wasn't a control thing. The fact is, it wasn't a control thing. It was what he believed was necessary to have financial. It was, I guess, control.
I imagine he was a pretty good saver.
Yes, he was a good saver. No debt. Yes.
Yeah.
Very organized financially. Yeah.
Was he an engineer or an accountant?
No, he's a sales guy.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, was he a good sales guy?
No.
That doesn't sound like a good sales guy.
Organized?
Expense report in on time. Perfect.
Expense report's always right.
He doesn't sell anything, but
if you're a sales manager and you're a sales guy, the sales people who turn their expense reports in first are probably not the top sales guys.
Yeah,
or gals.
Well, they might be though. So anyway,
we're kind of joking about that. But actually, just kind of knowing where you stand financially, and it's a good thing to do. How often do you think, Pat?
Oh, twice a year.
Yeah. Or at least once a year.
Yeah.
I read an article.
Twice a year keeps you on track. It keeps the top of mind. A net worth calculation gives you a big overview of your financial situation. And then an expense report, especially if you're losing software like Mint or Quicken or QuickBooks or any of those. It's pretty simple.
There was written an article about some, they call them ultra wealthy, people with $10 million or more of investable assets. There's some organization they pay $30,000 a year to be part of. And they go once a year and they'll spend an hour and a half going over their own personal finances and make their own personal financial goals. I thought quite a gig someone's charging $30,000 a year for. But it's the kind of stuff that most people get with when they have a good financial advisor, helps them figure these things out. But
you can do
regardless of whether
stuff.
You have, but what I'm saying is these are people with large portfolios that do it. Regardless of your situation, it's prudent to come back and take some inventory periodically.
Yeah. So
this is Hans McLean's Money Matters. We are talking about New Year's resolutions.
New Year's resolutions.
Yeah, and getting yourself set up with New Year's
resolutions. So the one that I think is going to be paramount for...
And if you're wondering why we're not promoting calls, because we're not taking calls on this special edition of our New Year's resolution.
Yeah, because we recorded the show. It's New Year's Eve. We're not working.
That's correct. Let's just be frank.
Only
New Year's
the people
Eve.
In the office work on New Year's Eve. I'm joking. Everyone has the day off.
It is Saturday.
It is. Yeah. We're Saturday or Sunday. Could be one of those. So I think this is vitally important for the year 2017. Vitally important. Stay calm when investing. So 2016, what a year.
You may think about how we started.
What a year.
We had a pretty good pullback. Remember the first several weeks?
Yes.
It was nervous time. I remember we came in and did a special video broadcast talking about the market pullback at that period of time. We had Brexit.
Which was people
supposed to send shockwaves.
Yeah, and it lasted for a little bit.
Then the Trump election.
Oh, which people, who could have called that? Any part of it.
What?
Any part of it. Like how the markets responded, how they will respond. It is going to be, in my opinion, a volatile year. Not necessarily a bad year, but a volatile year.
And here's what's interesting. So the resolution is to stay calm when investing. When the markets drop, I don't care what market it is, but if you're invested in it, when the markets drop, people become more concerned on the way down. And when things rally and go up in price, they become not only less concerned, oftentimes they become euphoric and want to invest more in that asset, which is the absolute opposite of what one should be doing.
Yes.
When prices fall, they are on sale. Good time to, it can be a, right? Something's on sale. When prices rise, it becomes expensive.
Yes.
And people tend to get those kind of backwards. And you hear this music. This is a special New Year's Eve program that Hanson McLean's putting on. And our hope is we're going through these resolutions that gets you to start thinking about some things you might be doing. And just a little shameless plug for Hanson McLean. If you haven't met with a Hanson McLean advisor, we've got a great team of advisors throughout both Northern California as well as the Denver area.
Take some of the time and make us part of your New Year's resolution.
Yeah, retirement's maybe a couple years down the road.
Within 5 years of retirement, consider sitting down with an advisor at no cost where we can help you plan for a great retirement.
We've literally helped thousands of people transition into the workplace into retirement. And so this music sounds like we're over. The show's not over. We're only halfway through.
I know, but we're doing music on the way out doing this special. Yeah.
So this is a special program. So stick around for our second half where we're going to continue with New Year's resolutions. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Hi, podcast listeners. If you got a question for us, we'd love to take your call. Many of you listen not live, so we've got a special 3-hour recording and taping we're doing on January the 4th between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. Pacific time on January 4th. We're going to be taking your calls. So if you got a question for us, call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. And we'll schedule a time for you to call and ask your question so we can answer it again on January 4th. So call 1-888-2-HANSON.
Should old acquaintance be forgot and never brought to mind? Should old acquaintance be forgot and days of old lang syne?
Back to one of the longest-running financial programs. Here's Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Hi, welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters on this special New Year's program.
Yes, thanks for
joining
us.
And I'm listening to the lyrics. I have no idea what this song means. Should old acquaintance be forgot? Anxiety, I don't know what that is. Yeah, don't call and tell us either, please. Yeah, I think I probably learned in the past.
Google
it's one of those trivia things.
I will Google it as soon as the show
is. Anyway, we're a special program. We're talking about some resolutions. Are you one of those, Pat, that remembers trivia? I'm not. And I think I just find no interest in a lot of things. Well, I shouldn't say I find no interest. If I don't see how something's going to add value to my life or the lives of others, I just don't. It'll come in one ear. I hear it. That's interesting. I don't even really think about it again after that.
I don't remember a lot of it, but I read mostly nonfiction and I watch a tremendous amount of documentaries. Tremendous. Like Netflix, I love the fact that Netflix exists.
Pat's missed much work lately, watching TV.
Oh, this the Cuba Libre on Netflix, which is the history of Cuba and the revolution, and just fascinating. Fascinating, but I don't remember all of it. But I certainly I get the big arcs, right? I can understand the big arcs, but the minutia, not so.
Cuba is an island south of Florida. You remember that part from the documentary?
Yeah, my two oldest went there over.
I thought one of your kids was going to Cuba.
They both went. My 21-year-old and my 19-year-old daughter went together. He had been studying in Ecuador, and then they met in.
Did they enjoy themselves in Cuba?
They had a great time. They said it was relatively expensive. And my son...
Oh, compared to Ecuador.
It might have been.
Because they're American tourists.
Yes, yeah. And so he, speaking fluent Spanish, talked to some of the locals, and they said there's basically two price structures.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was in Cuba in May with my father.
And we went to Cuba. Did you have fun?
We had a blast. And I didn't bother with the... Sometimes in poor countries, I'm not going to sit and negotiate down somebody because, I see how the people live there.
Yeah, so you're not that little savings isn't going to do a whole lot for you.
No, correct. And make it anyway. Yeah, yeah. Cuba is one of those things. If I would encourage people to, if you like travel, it's an interesting place to go. A couple of days, a few days is all you buy.
Yeah, you know, so we went to Ecuador. My family did to visit.
You can see how beautiful the country looked before Fidel took over. It's everything's in disarray.
Oh, after that.
Oh, yeah, the yacht club's empty. There's no ships in the harbor. There's no ships anywhere.
Yeah, well, naturally, I kind of get it. They don't want the ships to. Anyway, so I don't remember.
They don't want you to leave.
I don't remember the minutia, but I tell you, I just Netflix is The Crown. Have you seen The Crown on Netflix?
You told me I started to watch it. I couldn't get through it.
Really? Oh, well, it's not a documentary. It's
part of it's the accent. I had to have the TV a little louder
How old are you?
I'm 50.
You act like you're 90.
What do you mean?
They're English. It's not like an accent.
Yes, my stepmom was English as well.
Well, maybe they're... Anyway.
All I heard about how wonderful the thing was, how better, much
so
better things were back at home.
So if you want to do a little bit of power watching over the holidays on New Year's Day, what you want to watch is, I would recommend The Crown on
okay,
Cuba
now,
Libre.
Pat's recommendation. The History of Salt.
Oh, that's a great book.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, we had a special program to talk about New Year's resolutions, why... just some of the things to be thinking about when it comes to your finances. So it's a unique program because it's Saturday before the New Year's. But I tell you, this is a great time of the year to be thinking about your finances. We notice at Hanson McLean, we tend to have a higher number of people coming in.
For the first time.
In the first couple months of the year because people think, you know what? I got it. I've been thinking about this. I know my retirement's around the corner and it's time for me to get my stuff together.
January is the highest as in terms of new appointments with people that
for
are visiting
McLean,
us for the first time is the busiest month of the year, January and February. The busiest January number one, February number two for people that are meeting with us for the first time. And many times, when we say for the first time, many times people don't hire us as an advisor for a period of time after the first appointment. So if you come in the office and you're 55 and you say, I'm not retiring until you're 60,
and maybe everything's in a 401k. We'll help do some help, but maybe there's not a reason to move forward.
Maybe it doesn't make sense to hire us as an advisor at that time, and we will tell you.
And sometimes people come in, Pat, because they want a second opinion, or they just kind of want to see what we're about.
Yeah, and so...
we understand it's not an easy thing choosing an advisor.
Yeah, and sometimes people don't need an advisor. Sometimes an advisor is going to add unnecessary expenses and no value.
Yeah, that's right.
And so
not I wouldn't say the majority of the time,
but sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes people
and
don't
sometimes
need
sometimes people just need a fine tuning, which is do this, come back and see us.
But then sometimes I talk to somebody, they say, why do I need an advisor? And I've got these index funds or whatever. And then you talk about, you go through their life and you find out the mistakes they've done in other periods of time.
Yeah.
Well, when we finish at the break, we're talking about a goal of to stay calm when investing. And the thing, that we've noticed over the years, I think the value that a good financial advisor brings to someone's life, Pat, is to help them maintain the proper kind of balance and mix in a portfolio and the right kind of focus on risk mitigation.
And part of that is stress testing their portfolio on an ongoing basis before a market downturn. Before a market downturn, there are tools that are readily available to people in our industry, financial advisors, that will, they're predictive. They can be predictive, representative of what a market downturn will look like on your portfolio. So they're not 100% exact because they're based on historical information, but they'll give you a pretty good idea of what your portfolio may do during a downturn.
And the more you can have an understanding of what the future may bring, the less...
shock and awe you'll go through when it happens. So every asset class is got some sort of risk associated with it. Fixed income, money in the bank, what's its risk? Inflation, right? Index annuities, all kinds of risk there. Kinds of risk there. They're sold as they don't have risk, Scott.
Yeah.
That's how they're sold, but they have all kinds of risk. They have liquidity risk. They have return risk. So,
and one thing we know about 2017, it won't be like 2016 or any other year. It will be different.
Yeah, I expect volatility, crazy volatility.
And why is that?
The unorthodox manner in which this administration may be communicating with the population and populations around the world.
And so you think that'll trigger some sort of panic in
some
markets?
We already saw a tweet about Boeing move the stock price on a daily basis.
But do you think that after a while, that's just going to be noise and people won't pay attention to it anymore?
No, I don't think so. Oh,
well, anyway.
What do you think? I think it's going to have some
effect. Here's what I know. Things revert to their mean, right?
Yes.
Over time, things revert to their mean. So we've been in a period of historically low interest rates, although interest rates have risen some in the past.
Some. Minor.
It's highly likely that long-term interest rates are going to continue to rise at some point just to revert to where they've been historically average, right? And I think you will see stock prices as well. Other prices of asset classes, things revert back to their mean. And we've got a period of time where we have had an unprecedented run in stock prices since the financial crisis.
And real estate.
Without a major correction. So, look, I would not be surprised at all if in 2017 we had a significant correction in the stock market. Am I predicting that? Well, I don't make predictions. You don't make predictions. Nobody really knows. But what we can say is the longer you go without one, the higher the probability we'll see one.
So
maybe not the higher probability. If things revert back to their mean.
You mean a higher? There is a higher probability of you'll see one. The longer you go without one, the greater the probability.
I don't know if that's true, a greater probability, statistically speaking. Just like if you flip a coin, you get five heads in a row, you don't have a greater probability of getting a tails the next time.
If the price-to-earnings ratios move past a certain level, you've got a greater probability of. So if the earnings keep up with the stock prices, I would agree with you. We're getting probably a little bit too technical here.
Well, not necessarily, because the challenge is, over time, look, we need a growing economy to have good returns as investors. That's the bottom line, right? You can't expect to have great returns without a growing economy. We need a growing economy. So if 2017 is yet another year of anemic growth, at some point in time, there'll be some reckoning when it comes to prices.
Correct. And a good thing to do, part of staying calm while you're investing, is actually doing a stress test on your portfolio before the fact.
Yeah.
So that you have a very good understanding of how your portfolio may react in certain market
conditions.
And it's
the sort of thing, Pat, that Hanson McLean, we do with our clients, we do with other people that come in and meet with us, just look at their own portfolio. And of course, we've got a team of 20 some odd advisors. We have some great certified financial planners, offices throughout Northern California and offices in the Denver area. And
to make us part of your New Year's resolution.
Well, that's not actually listed on our list of New Year's resolutions. This is number one. Put it down, number one. So is it with a handsome
Scott? So this made me think of one of the things on the New Year's resolution, which is conduct a check on your advisor. So this is doing a background check.
Well, advisor, here's the funny thing. Anyone in our industry is now a financial advisor. A stockbroker, that literally someone who just specializes in that, commission-based, calls themselves a financial advisor.
Yes.
Right? So insurance agent.
Financial advisor.
Everyone's a financial advisor. Not all fiduciary advisors.
And you want to make sure that they have appropriate licenses, but you can do a background check by going to brokercheck.finra.org.
Just Google broker check.
So if you come into our office and you meet with an advisor and your portfolio, if you meet with an advisor at Hanson McLean and you've got and you're working with another advisor and your portfolio is a little bit iffy, you know what the first thing that advisor does when the client leaves the office is it looks up your previous advisor. You look them up. You want to see. When clients come into our office and say, I'm meeting with my advisor, Joe Smith, and we look at Joe Smith's portfolio and we're thinking, your portfolio doesn't look good. We look up your existing advisor to see what sort of regulatory marks they have.
If you're about to have surgery,
and you want to check on your doctor,
if they've been disciplined or had anyone die on them under the operating table because of malpractice or whatever?
Or lost a license or...
cut off the wrong leg, that sort of thing. So it's easy to do with a financial advisor. Pat, there was... someone came in this last year to our office, were sold several garbage products. Okay?
Yes.
Tied up in surrender charges...
non-liquid,
bad stuff.
Didn't price. Everything that we talk about that you shouldn't do.
The financial advisor kind of pretended like he was a fiduciary. He says he had a registered investment advisory firm, pretend like he's a fiduciary. But he was really an insurance salesman when it came down to it, because that's all he sold this person, a bunch of insurance-based products. The fact is, when on broker check, this individual had been disbarred from the industry for 5 years.
So had the person before they gave their money
that went in the
over,
background, the disciplinary background, it was several pages of, it would not have taken much to say, before the person invested their life savings, to say, maybe I should look at the background of this individual.
Easy enough.
It would have been simple. You can do it for me, Scott Hansen. You can look on a Pat McCrane's on there.
Just
any of our advisors
check.
On there.
Go to Broker Check.
Google Broker Check. It'll take you right to it. It's a simple tool. So even if you've been working with someone for a number of years.
And not only, Scott, not only in our industry, you work with a lawyer. You can go and check the background of the lawyer in the particular state that they're operating in to see if there's any been sanctions. Did it this weekend.
On what? Lawyer check?
I don't remember where I found it, but yeah. I was looking at a real estate deal, and the selling party is a lawyer, and I wanted to see what the...
And what did you find out?
Was a lawyer.
You brought it up. Huh?
Was a lawyer.
No longer lawyer.
Correct.
What happened?
I couldn't get that far into it. So it wasn't a red flag. It was just kind of a,
Well, maybe the person chooses not to... Our CFO is a CPA, but he's not practicing CPA.
But it was a
chief operating officer CPA.
You could do a background check on your advisors.
And it's a simple thing to do this year. We highly recommend it.
Easy.
So we are going through a Hansen McLean here. We're going through New Year's resolutions. This is a New Year's special. I'm Eric Pat. We've been doing this program for 21 years, right? Because our first year at Christmas Eve is when my daughter was born.
Yes.
And then a couple years later, New Year's. But again, when New Year's Eve, we're in labor. My wife had a baby. My son was born on New Year's Day.
That's right.
It's always New Year's, always fun because it's my son's. We celebrate his birthday. He always gets a little ripped off because it's
how old is
midnight.
He now?
He will be turning 19 tonight. Yeah. 19 years old. Yes.
Well, that's nice. And
it's very nice. Yes.
You're gonna have a big celebration for him. He's not gonna be anywhere near your house.
No, I don't know what he's doing tonight. Actually,
he won't be anywhere close to your home.
Huh?
My guess.
19.
Yeah.
Mama wants him around.
Of course. They do.
Yeah, but
that isn't. That isn't.
And he was born shortly after midnight.
Yeah, it was seconds after midnight, something like that, a minute and a half.
He was about an hour, but he was the first baby born in the Sacramento area on January 1st. And he tied, this is a strange thing. So he was first born, then some news people started calling. I said, someone called the hospital. I said, no, the first baby was born at whatever hospital. And they're like trying to figure it out. It turned out these two babies came at the same time. Now, obviously, had to do when the doctor wrote down the time of delivery. But
okay,
they listed the same exact time for delivery.
Mm-hmm.
Scott Hansen, me, was the father of one child. Another Scott Hansen across town was the father of the other child.
That's weird.
So two Scott Hansens had the first baby boy, when the other one was a girl. First baby of 1998, it was.
That's fascinating. Move on to the resolution.
Paul Harvey had a thing on national news.
Is that right?
My friend was driving in Chicago and heard my son being talked about.
Paul Harvey.
When Paul Harvey talks about you.
Okay. So one of the New Year's resolutions we'd like you to consider is giving back. So not only of your time, but your talent and your treasure. So last week, we had our special show, which you can listen to on the podcast, where we interviewed five people that are clients of Hansen McLean that became involved in charities and how this giving back, not just of their treasure, but of their time and the talent has changed the way they view themselves in relationship to money, and how they view their own skills. And my favorite show that we've ever done on Hanson McLean that I can think of, 21 years of doing the radio show, which is think about how you're giving back. And donating money is deliberative. You have to, if you want to do it correctly, you have to think about it and you have to plan for it, just like you plan for putting money into your retirement fund. Just like that. And so my wife and I actually, we didn't start out like this, and we didn't, you know, it's as a percentage of your income. But even if it's 1% or 2% or 3% of your income, regardless of what your income is, put some time and energy into this.
Well, I've yet to meet an unhappy, generous person. And I don't know if it's the people that tend to be full of joy are generous naturally, or it's the discipline of being generous that gives them joy.
Whether it's cause or effect,
but,
right?
As I think about it, I mean, I've talked to people. It's very rare someone is
generous,
regretful of a gift that they've made somewhere. Yeah. Unless the organization does something weird or whatever, which just happened. And I know sometimes people say, well, you can't trust. I don't know who to trust, so then I don't do anything.
But you can do research on it.
Yeah, there's
a lot
of good
organizations. You can actually go visit.
And I do think it's actually a good financial discipline, too.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's giving back or giving forward or whatever it is. But having some sort of, I think, giving, it can take some of the grip off your own finances. That's probably a good resolution to do for this year as well. And I think here also, Pat, now is a good time to look back at last year's spending and say, where did the money go? And you know, most credit cards these days,
you'll get some reporting.
You can get a report from them. At least the ones that I've got, I assume they all have. And you can get a report. It'll say, here's what you spent on dining out. Here's what you spent wherever. And because most of us aren't that great at keeping a log.
Day to day.
We don't keep track of anything.
Yeah, and it all adds up. It adds up quick. I was getting a cup of coffee this morning. It was $2.85 for a cup of coffee.
Coffee is certainly inflated in price, hasn't it?
Well,
it
don't
taste better too. I got to tell you, that went 20 years ago.
Well, I don't drink a lot of coffee. I may drink, pick up a cup of coffee maybe once every.
You don't
two
have
weeks.
Caffeine in the morning?
No, I have a cup of tea, iced tea in the morning,
like first thing.
Yeah, I have an iced tea, but it's mostly decaf.
You're kidding?
No, I cannot take a lot of caffeine. Have you spent any time with me?
Well,
if you saw me on caffeine.
It's not good. Don't get Pat any stimulant.
Oh, call me Hurricane McLean when I'm not.
I thought it might calm you down. You know, like you kid on you give a kid a Ritalin or whatever.
The only time I'll drink if I'm going on a really long bike ride, like mile 40 or 50.
I crawl to the kitchen in the morning to get my coffee.
Oh, no.
I view caffeine as one of the great gifts from God.
We don't even have a coffee.
I mean, it's right up there with...
we don't have a coffee maker on the counter or anything at our house. Nothing like that. Iced tea in the morning.
I always make it the night before. I very rarely buy one.
My point being is that I thought when I was this morning getting this cup of coffee at this shop, which I rarely do, thought this would add up in a hurry. So naturally, I did the math. If I was doing this 5 days a week... I actually did the math as to how much it would cost me a year.
And, you know,
it's $720 a year.
Okay. If you got the $720 and everything else in your life's fine. Buy the coffee. Buy whatever.
But it's $720 a year.
So did you cancel your order?
That's why I only do it every couple of weeks. But
oh, come on.
I did not cancel my order. But, look, you're at different stations in your life, right? I get my shirts dry clean now, but... 25 years ago, I didn't. I certainly did not.
Well, I used to get 2 days wear out of them.
Right? Yeah.
Like shirts.
You clean them up, right?
Yeah.
So things change, but the point being is...
regardless of where you...
Evaluate where you're spending the money.
Regardless of your financial situation.
Well, I don't know if it's regardless of your financial situation. If you're retired and you're comfortable and you know that you...
All right, let me have... All right. If you're in a situation,
still in the accumulation phase.
I'd say unless you are in a position where you are more than comfortably financially and you have everything you want and more, then maybe you don't need to look at it.
Okay, I'll go with
that.
If
you're like the 95% of the population that's not quite in that position, that has some other maybe financial dreams or financial goals out there.
Just examine it. It's reprioritizing where your dollars or assets
are going. That's exactly it. And you may think, you know, I don't really need to get a new car every 3 years. Here's what it would take. Here's the difference. And by that difference, here's what it can mean in my life in other areas. Here's what it can mean to my retirement. Here's what it can mean to maybe I could afford to whatever it is.
I have relatives. They go on beautiful vacations every year. Why? It's a priority to them. They don't go out for coffee, but they go on a 2-week vacation every year. But they don't spend it on a daily basis. That is them taking their priorities and listing them in order. The coffee isn't as important to them every morning at the Starbucks.
That's exactly right.
As the vacation.
And unfortunately, most people, when it comes to their finances, they become a victim of their finances, and they end up not doing some of the things in life that are important to them because they don't take the time to actually look at this
couple I'm thinking of. They buy used cars, never a new car, but they take beautiful vacations every year because that's what's important to them.
Right. And we all have finite amount
and
of resources.
I should point that they've, since the very beginning, they've been putting between 15 and 20% of their income away for retirement because that's important to them.
To have the resources to do these things.
But as we talk about this, these resolutions, this couple comes to mind that they're resolute and they're organized.
Well, that's where you end up with having some control of your finances instead of your finances controlling you.
So we have this and more New Year's resolutions on our website for you to consider, to think about yourself, and to make yourself more comfortable in your financial situation.
Yeah, because it doesn't just happen for most people, unless you're fortunate to win the lottery or have some massive inheritance. Most people, we end up with some financial security in our life because of choices that we've made along the way. And it's New Year's, it's always a great time to do it. And if you get maybe retirements in your near future and you have yet to meet with a Hanson McLean advisor, you know, the show's normally not about us pitching, but we're pitching a bit just because it's important. And Pat, we were talking, we had our State of the State meeting with our all staff a while ago, and someone asked, we had this discussion, what percentage of people in this financial services industry do we actually think are high quality? And what was the general consensus that 20%, the advisor said about 20%.
Yeah, the advisors thought that the high quality advisors industry about 20%.
Registered investment advisor firms, we said probably 60 or 70%. So, look, there's a lot of there's some great advisors out there. There's a lot of lousy ones as well. We believe Hanson McLean's got some great advisors. We strongly encourage you to take advantage of this year's some new resolutions. Give us a call at 888-2-HANSON. Go to moneymatters.com. Meet with an advisor in your area. And I think you'll be glad you did. And if nothing else, it'll get you pointed in the right direction for 2017. So it's been fun being here with you on this New Year's. We hope everyone has a fantastic New Year's celebration this evening. And, of course, don't be out drinking and driving. And just have a great time. And we'll see you in 2017. Again, Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific financial advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence.